Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Raya Drogasil's conference call to discuss its results for the fourth quarter of 2012. The audio for this conference is being broadcast simultaneously through the Internet in the website www.rayadrogasil.com.br/IR. In that address, you can also find the slideshow presentation available for download. We inform that all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are over, there will be a Q&A period. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during the conference, please press *0 for an operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are being made under the safe harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Raya Drogasil management and on information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect future results of Raya Drogasil and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Today with us are Mr. Claudio Roberto Ely, CEO, Mr. Eugenio de Zagotis, Investor Relations and Corporate Planning Vice President, and Mr. Gabriel Rosenberg, Investor Relations and Corporate Planning Director. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Claudio Roberto Ely. Sir, you may begin your conference.
Welcome to the earnings presentation relative to the year and the fourth quarter 2012. Now, Mr. Eugenio will run the presentation. Let's go.
Thanks, Father. Well, good morning, everybody, and thanks for your presence in this conference call. 2012 was the first year of Raya Drogasil operating as a combined company. We announced the merger on August of 2011. Then we completed the transaction in November of 2011, and finally last year we operated for the full year as a single combined company. We ended the year with 864 stores in operation. We basically opened 101 new stores through the year, and we closed another 13 stores. We posted gross revenues of 5.6 billion. This represents 18.3% annual growth over 2011. And that represented also 11.6% for same-store sales growth. Our gross margins reached 26.7% in the year, a 1.1 percentage point margin increase, and we posted an adjusted EBITDA of 326 million reais, an increase of 20% over the previous year, which represented an EBITDA margin of 5.8% during the year. As for the fourth quarter, we posted an EBITDA of 83 million, which corresponds to 5.6% EBITDA margin. And finally, net income of 164 million, 2.8% of net margin. On page 4, we see that 2012 was another strong year in terms of growth. And even though we had significant cost and expense pressure, it was still a year of margin expansion. When you look at our track record, and I don't think you have to look to the ancient periods, but let's say if we get back to 2007, we see basically that from 2007 to 2012, Raya Drogasil, we more than doubled our number of stores in this period. We increased our revenues from 1.8 billion to 5.6 billion in only 5 years, and we increased our EBITDA from 70 million combined in 2007 all the way to 326 million reais. I say if you think about, I mean, half of the stores we currently open, we currently operate, they have been open over the last 5 years. So half of this company was built over the last 5 years. So I guess that's the main testament to the quality of the growth that we have had. And even though we built half this company in the last 5 years, we still managed to achieve significant growth and significant margin expansion over the last 5 years. And I believe we certainly see this trend going forward in terms of healthy top line growth with margin expansion. Last year, in page 5, we maintained our industry leadership, both in revenues and in store count, according to the Abrafarma ranking, and we built a difference in 10% in terms of revenues when compared to the second player in this industry, that by the day that we merged, they were pretty much the same size that we had by then. And on page 6, it's also important to mention that last year was another significant year in terms of market growth, as the market grew 15.6%. Over the last 5 years, our industry has been going up by 16% a year. I'll say this is quite significant. And even more important than that, real demand growth is far outgrowing supply in the drugstore industry. We have seen real demand expansion of 10.5% for pharmaceuticals versus only 4.1% of supply growth, meaning new total number of drugstores is going up by 4% in the last 5 years. And if we look back only for the last 2 years, we have seen the number of pharmacies being increased by 2.3% in 2011 and 2.1% last year. So in spite of the significant growth that has been pursued by all the top chains in this industry, and I would say that has been quite relevant, we still have seen supply growing way, way below demand. And this has been translated in a significant efficiency improvement by the main players. On page 7, we delve on the main driver for the market growth that we have seen, and I believe we are yet to see in the years ahead. The elder population in Brazil, above 65 years old, is growing up by 4% a year. The speed of the population of aging in Brazil is also something quite remarkable. According to a study by the World Bank done in 2011, Brazil is coming from 7, the elder population in Brazil is coming from 7 to 14% of the total elder population in only 21 years that have just started in 2011. In China, we also see fast growth. The same type of aging will take 26 years to complete, but China is already in the middle of the process, so Brazil is exactly the beginning. And then when we compare to more developed countries, we see that it took almost 70 years for the United States to achieve the same type of aging, and it took more than a century for France to achieve that aging standard. So this is the main driver of the growth we have seen in the past and of the growth we'll keep on seeing ahead. So I would easily say that we have 2 decades ahead of us of probably double-digit market growth. I don't know if it's 10, 12, or 16, but I wouldn't expect to see this market growing anyway below 10% for the next 20 years. And as a result, we'll see the annual per capita spending that in Brazil is still quite low for pharmaceuticals, growing a lot over the next few years. I believe that demographics in this industry is way more important than the economy. We can never trace improvements or deteriorations in GDP growth affecting our numbers from one quarter to the other or from one year to the other. I believe our life is much more dependent first on demographics, which is a long-term trend, and then on the industry dynamics itself. On page 8, as I previously mentioned, I mean, we are seeing the top 5 players accumulate a significant share over the years. And since demand is outgrowing supply, basically what we have seen is that these top players, they are catching a disproportionate share over the industry growth. So the bulk of the growth we have seen is not taking revenues away from pre-existing players, but is capturing the lion's share of the market expansion. So over the last 8 years, we have seen the top 5 drugstores coming from 16 to 29.3% of the market. And more than that, as demand is outgrowing supply, revenues per store for the top players is growing significantly, and the gap vis-a-vis the other players in the industry is expanding at a very fast pace. So when you put together the scale benefits that the leaders are getting with the efficiency of having higher revenues per store, for me this is a very powerful combination, and this is a sure receipt for consolidation of the market. Paradoxically, last year, we saw the top five players going up by only 0.1 percentage point. Even though Hydro Brasil, from December to December, we increased market share by 3%. So what we saw last year is basically some of the top five players, they're losing share, and some of the top five players, including us, are gaining market share. But as a trend, we would still expect to see this figure going up over the next years. I think personal care, as shown on page 9, next year was a year of significant growth, according to ABIPEC, and we don't have the full numbers for the year, but from January to October, the market was growing by 18%, and should the market have sustained that pace of growth, the Brazilian hygiene personal care market should have reached something like 35 billion reais last year. But more important than that, we keep seeing drugstore chains gaining market share at a significant pace, while drugstores are bleeding market share at a very fast pace. So in 5 years, drugstore chains came from 11.5 to 16.5% of the market, while supermarkets, they dropped from 59 to 52% of the market. So this is quite significant. When we translate this share shifting in total volume gain, total revenue gain, we see that the drugstore chains, and this is not only top five, but the drugstore chains as a whole, they have gone up by 126% on a cumulative basis over the last 5 years, so 17.7% per year in average, while supermarkets went up by only 39%, which is 6.8% a year, slightly ahead of inflation. So we are in the middle of a format war in which the superior convenience, execution, and shopping experience of the drugstore chains has translated in massive share gain at the expense of the supermarket. And I believe this trend is supposed to go on. On page 10, talking now about the year that we had, we reached 864 stores by the end of the year, by opening 101 stores and by closing 13 stores. Most of these closures are related to synergies. So stores that are underperforming and they're close to each other, and we are being able to close one store and driving volume to the surviving one. As of now, mature stores represent 65% only of the total store portfolio. And 35 of our stores are yet to mature, and they are relatively well distributed between year one and year two and year three stores. On page 11, the opening pace we had last year, I would say was significantly derailed from August to November due to the incorporation of Raya by Raya Drogazil. Basically, we had to relicense more than 500 pre-existing Raya stores, meaning reapplying for every single tax, operating, or sanitary license, and also the new Raya stores had to be postponed so that they could be opened after the incorporation and they could be opened already with the new, under the new company, because otherwise we would have problems migrating those stores from Raya to Raya Drogazil. And after, so we completed the incorporation in the end of November, and December was a very, very strong month in terms of new store openings. We basically opened 42 stores in the fourth quarter of last year, and 29 in December alone. If you compare 2011, we had opened, I think, 19 stores only, 19 stores actually, in the last month. And this year, we opened 29 stores in December alone, and a lot of those stores concentrated in the end of the year. Needless to say, all these stores that we opened in the end of the year, they only posted during 2012 pre-operational expenses, and the negative results of the initial month of operation. So there has been a significant pressure driver for our margins on the starter, but I believe there will be paramount in, for our growth and margin expansion to take place coming forward. On page 12, talking about the market, I mean, the main highlight of the year was our entry into three new markets, Mato Grosso and Mato Grosso do Sul, with 6 stores each, and then Bahia with 10 stores. Bahia is basically our entry point to the Northeast, probably the fastest growing market in Brazil, a big, interesting, attractive, relevant market, where I think we'll build a growth story over the next 5-10 years there. So that's for me a major milestone for the company. And in addition to the three new markets, we also opened 11 stores in Santa Catarina, a market we entered the year before. But a lot of stores came next year. So 4 new regions, I think there was a significant expansion that we undertook in the year. Then talking about market share, we added 0.3% of market share last year. I would say the main highlights were São Paulo, where we reached 22% of market share, and we will still see our market share in São Paulo going up over the next few years because we have a lot of growth opportunities here to undertake. Espírito Santo was another highlight, where our market share came from 9 to 9.7, and Rio de Janeiro, where we came from 5.1 to 5.8. There were a couple markets in which, as a function of not opening almost any stores, we lost some share, like in Brasília. If I'm not mistaken, over the last 2 years, we haven't opened a single store in Brasília. So we basically was 0.2 less market share there than we had initially. In Minas Gerais, the same happened. We haven't opened stores in Belo Horizonte of lately. And then I think there's only one market where we lost market share, and that's because of operations, which was Paraná. Basically, our operations in Curitiba, I think they suffered as a function of our growth, as we took people from Curitiba initially to operate our new stores in the countryside, then in Porto Alegre, then in Santa Catarina, and as a result, we have an operation with a lot of people. They are probably not well prepared. So we are now focusing a lot on that operation. We are stopping growth in the south for that operation to get strengthened. We have an action plan there. And I mean, it's just one of the pains of growing like the way we did. So here, I believe we probably went ahead of what we should have done in terms of development speed, but it's something that will be fixed. And then for the new markets, we reached already in the first month of December 4.9 in Mato Grosso do Sul, 2.8 in Mato Grosso, and 0.9 by Brazilian state. Talking about our comps, our total revenues increased last year by 18.3%, and in the fourth quarter, we grew by 14.9%. Same store sales grew 11.6% in the year, 9.1% in the last quarter, and then mature stores grew 8.1% in the year, which is a very, very good number, and 5.3% in the last quarter. It's important to highlight that we had an unfavorable calendar that impacted our comps by 1%. So, on a level playing field, so to speak, mature stores would have grown by 6.3%, which I think is a reasonable number, and same store sales would have grown by 10.1%. And another point is that, as you may remember, in 2011, we started the year with softer comps, especially in the case of Drogasil, and then those comps went up on a quite significant way in the end of the year. So, when we talk about 8% of mature store growth in the year, we had the benefit of a relatively weak comp for most of the year, but then on the fourth quarter, we have seen a very robust comp of 8.1% of the fourth quarter last year. So both because of the strong comp base of the fourth quarter and because of an unfavorable calendar, I believe we had sort of a deceleration taking place on the fourth quarter. But for me, it's a healthy and robust fourth quarter as far as comps. As we enter now in the first quarter of the year, the comp base effect and the calendar effect, they will be even potentialized because we'll start now comparing almost with an impossible comp of 10.8 for the mature stores that we achieved in the first quarter of last year. And we have a calendar effect of 2% in the first quarter, not only because we didn't have a leap year this year as we have last year, and also as Easter is starting in March, this is also negative for sales. So for sure we'll see sort of weak comps being posted on the first quarter of this year. This has also been contributed because of the weather, inclement weather in Sao Paulo, a lot of rain. But I believe as we enter the second quarter with a good calendar and with a reasonable comp base, I believe our comps will start getting back to normal. So if our long-term trend for mature stores is inflation plus one to inflation plus two, last year was north of inflation plus two, I would say this year it could be inflation to inflation plus one for the whole year, but not for the first quarter for sure. One thing for team talking about the product mix, generics were the highlight of the year. Generics grew for the year 25.6% versus 18.3% for the whole company. As a percentage of the total mix, generics went up from 10.5% to 11.2%, and in the fourth quarter from 10.8% to 11.2%. Hygiene personal care was also gained share in the year, 29.4% to 29.7%, and in the last quarter, 30.6% to 31%. On page 15, talking about our gross margins, we posted 1.1 percentage point margin increase over 2011, mainly due to the cost synergies achieved as a function of the merger. When we compare the fourth quarter, we improved gross margin by 0.9%, even though we still have the negative effect from the new tax regime affecting our margins. In the third quarter, as you may recall, the tax regime provided a negative pressure of 0.8% of total revenues, and we have managed to negotiate half that pressure and to pass them back to the suppliers who generated that loss. So, but we still have embedded in our numbers a 0.4% transitory gross margin pressure due to the new tax regime. So as we are now approaching a period in which we had 100 million reais in all the tax credits to recover, and that was the single reason why we entered the new tax regime. Probably through the second quarter, that recovery should be over, and we are at a point where either we managed to balance this remaining 0.4, either by negotiating with our suppliers or maybe if something changes in terms of tax calculation. But most likely, if nothing of that happens, at some point, probably in the third quarter, we'll probably go out of the tax regime. So we'll see. But this is a transitory pressure that should be recovered in the second semester of the year. But even with 0.4% of margin pressure due to the tax regime, we still posted a very good 27% of gross margin due to a very strong quarter in terms of trade allowances. In terms of trend, I don't think we could assume 27.1 plus 0.4, as the 27.1 is a very strong number. But I think it could be likely that after the taxes are fully recovered, we could be somewhere north of 27. In terms of cash cycle, we had a very cash-consuming first half of last year. We improved remarkably bad on the third quarter of the year, and now we had a slight cash cycle pressure here, especially due to the fact that since Raya was being incorporated by Drogasil, we added an inventory buffer as a safety precaution in case that the change in fiscal identity would prevent us from receiving products from suppliers, so we increased our inventories to support the transition. In the end, that was even required because everything went all right, but it's something that we will balance and we'll get back to levels of, say, similar to those of the third quarter. If gross margin was the great news of the year, for sure the villain was sales expenses. Over the whole year, we increased sales expenses by 1.3%, and in the fourth quarter, that increase was 1.4 percentage points. So on the right, we depict the main sources of sales pressure in the year. Payroll was the main factor, 0.6%. Part of that payroll is people deployment. And then there is a more structural component, which is real wage increases. I believe payroll and rental also went up by 0.1, and the fourth quarter 0.2. Rental is absolutely structural, as real estate market is appreciating a lot, and our rentals are going up as a consequence. So both rentals and payroll, I don't think they can be reversed, although I do not expect us to have the same level of pressures that we had last year. But then we have another part of expense pressures that I think they're very transitory, and they're completely related to our growth. One is logistics. We have added over the last 3 years, we have come from 2 to 7 distribution centers. This year, last year alone, we added 2 new distribution centers, one in Rio in the beginning of the year, and the second one in the countryside of Sao Paulo, which is our largest distribution center anywhere. So we had 0.2% of logistics expense increase in the year and 0.3% in the fourth quarter. But the good news is that we do not need any new distribution centers either this year or next year. So over these 2 years, I would expect to see logistics expenses getting back to where it was. So for me, this is transitory. And even more transitory than this is the pressure exerted by new stores of 0.2%. What happened is that a lot of our store openings last year, they took place in new markets where it just takes longer for the store to be open because we have to hire the people, we have to train the people. Legalization takes longer because there's a learning curve to be understood. But this year already, as we're not developing any new markets and as the bulk of our stores will open in mature markets, and also, as this year, our store development program is starting very strongly on the first quarter, and it'll be very balanced through the year, we will see, I think, a big improvement taking place. So much less pre-operation expenses because we're opening in markets where it takes shorter to open. And the second part is that all the stores we open in the first semester of the year, they're expected to be positive by year end. So while the 40-something stores that we opened in the fourth quarter of last year, all they gave us was pre-operation expenses and initial negative results from the first month of operation. So I believe the pressure from the stores will be much softer this year. After 2017, we got a good level of dilution in G&A, 0.3% in the year and in the quarter, because as a function of our management unification, we had some redundancies, and second, we are doing really limiting new admissions. Not that it's completely zero, sometimes you need a new admission, but we believe we still have fat in the system, and this should be another year of very little new hires, and another year of G&A dilution. So when you think about margin expansion this year, I mean, for sure, G&A dilution is important, is an important component of that. On page 18, talking about EBITDA, we posted an EBITDA margin increase of 0.1% in the year. Our EBITDA came from 270 million to 326 million. So it's a significant improvement in the year. And in the fourth quarter, we lost 30 basis points of EBITDA margin. And here, it's important to highlight that the calendar effect alone, as it represented 1% of total sales, pretty much explains this whole difference. So under the same kind of calendar, our EBITDA margin would be in line with last year. So 0.3 is completely explained by 1% revenues due to the calendar times 27% of gross margin. And then on top of that, we also had gross margins pressure of 0.4 to the tax regime that should be reverted in the second semester. We had, even though it was mitigated by a strong quarter in terms of trade allowances, we had logistics expenses of 0.3% that should be diluted in the next 3 years, and import pressure of 0.2 that should be diluted this year. Another interesting way to understand the pressure that the store opening program provides on our numbers is to see that if you consider the results only of the 776 stores we had operating in the end of last year. So the profitability of those stores and less the full G&A of the company, I mean, we would have had 350 million EBITDA. So we lost 25 million EBITDA in the year only due to the new store opening. So this is great in terms of future growth because the new stores will start now working and they'll start maturing in some time and we'll see them becoming a source of profitability increase. But on the shorter term, on the year they have been opened, I mean, all we see is negative, is bad news. On page 19, we had a net income of 2.8 in the year and 2.2 in the quarter, which was impacted by financial expenses of 0.6% both in the quarter and in the year. This is basically due to the fact that we had a lower net cash position this year as a function that we employed cash to grow than we had it, than we had last year. On page 20, we posted in the year no recurring expenses due to the integration of 41 million reais. In the fourth quarter alone, those expenses accounted for 27 million reais. So 14.6 million reais was integration expenses. Then 8.8 million reais were accounting alignments, basically some provisions that were still calculated in different ways for some allowances for High and Central Brazil. And then there is a small, some tax write-offs that also differences in tax calculations across the companies. And finally, 3.1 million in the quarter came in from the closure of stores and the closure of the higher corporate center. So this is basically asset write-offs. And there's also 12 million reais that doesn't go to the EBITDA, it goes straight to the P&L, which is a write-off of accumulated losses that Hire had. So as Hire was incorporated, that 12 million had to be written off. But we have already started in December to book to book goodwill. So in terms of competency, December is already being impacted by goodwill. But in terms of cash, we see the impact on the first quarter because basically in the first quarter we're paying the taxes of the fourth quarter. So as we started booking goodwill amortization in December, we'll see already in this first quarter 3.6 million in tax shield. So this is the cash saving in the first quarter, and then from the second quarter and onwards, pretty much until the beginning of 2018, we'll see 10.7 million tax shield per quarter. Total goodwill tax shield will be 235 million until 2018. So this is great news in terms of cash. On page 21, we generated 278 million in resources from operation. We consumed 189 in working capital and 258 million in capex. So we had a negative cash flow to finance our growth of 168 million reais in the year. On page 22, considering the share price we had yesterday by the end of the day of 21.46, we see that the shareholders who invested at Drogasil's IPO 2007, they have accumulated an average annual return of 26%. And the ones who invested at a high IPO in 2010, they have accumulated annual return of 36% in this period. Finally, before jumping to Q&A, we are proud of several accomplishments in this year as far as the integration of High and Drogasil. We did the management unification at the very beginning of the year. Several of our processes like purchasing, like corporate planning, and now payroll, they are already integrated. We achieved significant cost synergies by negotiating for our suppliers. We have selected and prepared our systems for rollout starting this year. And we did the incorporation of Raya by Raya Drogasil, which I believe is a Herculean effort, as we had to relicense more than 400 stores, and those licenses have all to be ready on a single day. So, and now looking forward to this year, we are starting the first quarter with 36 new store openings. This is an unprecedented level of store openings in the first quarter. We are benefiting not only from having pushed stores from last year to this year, because every single year before this year, we built our pipeline pretty much as we move forward with the new store. So our new stores were mostly open at the end of the year. So this year, a good side effect of the incorporation's effect that we started the year with a strong pipeline that will allow us to open stores in a much better paced way through the year and have all these stores that have been opened, that will be opened the first semester of the year, turning a positive profitability before the year ends. So 36 stores are already opened in the first quarter of this year. That's quite significant. If you look back for the last 6 months, both fourth quarter and first quarter, we have nearly 80 new store openings. I mean, this is an impressive level of growth for us. We'll see this trend, I mean, pushing our numbers coming forward. But of course, that as we move to the first quarter of 2013, by having 80 new stores around, this will be a significant cost pressure. Because every year, the fourth quarter was pretty much a clean quarter as far as new store pressures. So with 80 stores over the next 6 months, we'll see a massive pressure in this first quarter, but also we'll see a much better number going forward from the second quarter onwards, as our openings will be more paced, and as we'll see with the initial stores helping with our profitability before year ends. Another thing to take into consideration regarding the first quarter is that we have a gigantic comp base. As last year, our mature stores have grown by 11%. So this is an impressive level of growth. And of course, that when we compare our revenue growth this year with what we saw in the first quarter of last year, of course, we'll see small numbers. But we believe that as the second quarter progresses and as the comp base normalizes, we will see then good comps coming forward. We also will have in the first quarter an unfavorable calendar of 2% of total sales. So this basically means that only the calendar effect will bring the margin pressure of 50 basis points in the quarter. So for sure it will be a tough and pressure quarter. But I believe from the second quarter onwards we're very optimistic, not only because we'll see the comps going back to good levels. We had this year a price increase already set by the government of 4.6, which will provide a very strong margin quarter, as every year in the second quarter we have inventory gains on our inflationary gains on our inventories. So we have a higher price increase than last year. So this should translate in a higher gross margin than we had last year. And then we see also the benefits of the paced opening. So looking on the long term, we believe there's a significant growth opportunity ahead of us. I think the company will see 4 years, 5 years down the road, will be a much, much bigger company than we see today. We believe we will have margin expansion along the way, both because of productivity and because of maturation of partial maturation of stores and needs. But a growth trajectory like this is subject to quarter volatility. You cannot grow in the quarter volatility. There are some stronger quarters, there are some tougher quarters, and sometimes people get tempted when they see a strong quarter to over-project for the next 10 years, or when they see a tough quarter to under-project for the next 10 years. I think we should be measured on both instances, and I think structural, the opportunity that we'll have, I think it's tremendous, and that relates not only for the next years ahead, but even to this year, especially after the second quarter. So this is what we have, and we're now opening for Q&A.
Thank you. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing star then one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press star then two. We will pause a moment to assemble our roster. Our first question comes from Andre Stolfi with AG Capital. Please go ahead.
you mentioned an unprecedented level of store openings for the first quarter comparison with history of the company. Do you feel confident that you may overcome the guidance of 130 stores for the year?
Thanks for the question. No, we do not believe we'll go beyond the 130 new stores this year. I mean, in terms of openings, for sure that could be possible, especially as we started strongly, and especially as we have already more than 100 contracts signed for the year. So in terms of property development, yes, but in terms of our operations, I don't think that would be healthy. As I mentioned before, what we saw in Curitiba this year is quite an evidence of what happens when you overstretch your growth. So we learn our lessons, and we have to be measured in the way we go. So it would be very good to be paced in our openings from the second quarter onwards, not only because of expense pressure, but because of the quality of the operation.
Our next question comes from Irma Gars with Goldman Sachs.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my question. Just two quick follow-up questions from the earlier Portuguese call. Firstly, the higher tax rate on your P&L in this quarter, am I right to think that this was connected with a write-down of the accumulated losses on the tax assets from the accumulated losses at higher with the incorporation, and this was a non-cash effect? That's my first question. And then secondly, I was curious to hear whether you're seeing any pressures in terms of either rental expenses as you're opening new stores, or just in terms of even finding the points of sale in terms of key money, whether there is anything that is changing there. Thank you.
Irma, thanks for the question. You're right. I mean, the write-off that we had of accumulated tax losses, it decreased a lot the effective tax rate in the quarter. And I mean, if you see without adjustments, like the accounting quarter earnings, I mean, it was very low. So the tax also represented that. And also, I mean, this is completely non-cash event. So it's only an accounting effect. As far as the property development, I mean, we are very happy with the quality of the stores we opened last year, and the quality of both of the stores we have opened so far, and of the pipeline that we have for this year. But when you look at the market overall, we have rental pressures, but the stores that we are getting, I mean, we are very diversified in terms of regions, so sometimes you see strong rentals, but we are always doing return calculations. And regardless if the rental is high or low, whenever we decide to open a store, it means that we're confident that we can provide the same level of return that we have targeted for over the last year. So there haven't been any limitation in our capacity to grow in terms of property development. And I think rentals for the new stores, they haven't been much of a problem. I think they have been a problem for the pre-existing stores, because then the numbers already built into our profitability, and as they go up, they pressure our numbers. So that's for sure.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
Excellent.
Our next question comes from Jeffrey Fouvre with York Asset Management.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes. So I have a question which is more broad question. I'm looking at your company, and you're not anymore a small company. And what I see is I'm failing to understand the relationship between the expectation of growth and your return on capital. Because what I see is that on a per share basis, on a GAAP basis, we are down in the last 2 years in terms of GAAP earnings per share. The dividend per share is down. And what I'm trying to understand is that if you have grown a lot through capital transactions, the issues of shares with Atraya and Brazil. On the tough side of the merger, I'm wondering what was the benefit so far per share, not as, you know, top line. And I think that what people on the buy side need to know is in order to sustain this growth, you need a return on capital employed, which is high. And you're not a small company anymore, so yes, you're growing, but if you keep growing, you're going to need, if you don't have a very high return on capital employed, you're going to need external capital again. So that's my question. Where should we expect and how can we understand the return on capital to sustain this growth story?
Jeff, thanks for your question. You are right. I mean, there is an absolute trade-off between growing and short-term returns. I mean, you cannot underestimate that. I mean, just to show that, for example, last year, we had a new store capex around, if you consider only the stores open in the year, of 130 million reais. And those stores, they charge financial interest. Those stores, they charge depreciation. And yet, we had an initial negative result of 25 million reais in the year. So it's impossible to balance a growth process like the one we have with short-term with the short-term numbers. We believe in return maximization, but our investment horizon, I would say, it is quite long. When you see the opportunities that we see in the market for organic growth, for consolidation, for the aging of the population, we are not trying to maximize the short-term. But something that we pay a lot of attention to is to be able to financially sustain the growth that we have. So we had last year a year of cash consumption. For sure that the cash growth has been financed by equity raising. But going forward, and I believe that even by the end of this year, I think we are getting very close to being break even in terms of cash consumption. So for sure, the first semester of the year, we still need cash, but likely when you see the whole year, we probably will be either neutral in cash generation or even positive. Let's see. But the neutral, I think it's quite, we feel relatively confident to state that. And for sure that when you go and think about the next years, it will be, we'll have cash generation, but the dividends per share will be low and the consolidated returns, they will be low because we have, for example, we have 35% of our stores, they are fully paid for as part of investment, but they are very far still from their potential. So this is how we look at that trade-off. So we do not regard returns. We pay a lot of attention to returns, but the time window that we're looking at is a couple years and not a couple quarters.
Our next question comes from Howard Siegelbaum with HNC Capital.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. In terms of the 36 new store openings in Q1, I'm wondering if those include the 26 stores in Goiás that you had acquired.
Thanks, Howard. Yes, they include. I think the bulk of the stores, they have already been opened. Actually, yesterday we opened more than 10 stores there. I'll say half of those stores that were located in regions that were complementary to where Drogasil originally was present, they have been opened as Drogasil, and the other half, they have been opened as Droga Raia. So this is really a higher entry into Goiás, and a very, very strong asset quality. I mean, even though today was the first day, the couple stores that opened in the morning, I mean, they show good numbers for today, for yesterday. It's still too early to call anything on a day. We have to look probably in a couple weeks and months. But that's an expansion which we feel very confident about. Because the quality of the stores that we have, both for...
Great. And in terms of the question that the gentleman from York asked about return on invested capital, if you were to strip out the losses from the stores that you opened this year, and I guess the net assets from the stores you opened this year, do you have an estimate of what type of return on invested capital your core business would be doing for 2012? Hello?
Yes, we momentarily lost connection with the main speaking line. They will be with us in just a moment. Please be patient. Pardon me, this is the conference operator. The speaker's line has returned to the conference. Thank you very much for your patience. Please go ahead.
Great. Okay, thanks. So it is, my question was a follow-up to the question asked by the gentleman at York, and that, in terms of return on invested capital, if we thought about your return on invested capital, it's stripping out the stores that you opened this year and the net operating assets that you would attribute to them in terms of the inventory, the receivables, the PP&E. What type of return on invested capital would your core business have done? Thank you.
Well, thanks for the question. Again, I mean, when you think about consolidated returns, I think we are at a stage because of the pace of the growth we are having, I believe we still see our consolidated rights being pressured for quite a while. But for me, what's important to think of is about marginal returns. Whenever we take, we open new stores, the type of modeling that we do, we look at 10 years of free cash flow for the store. We assume like sudden death after 10 years. And our threshold is a real internal rate of returns north of 20%. So we are very confident that the store addition that we are doing will be significantly value added over the longer term. But again, when you see a year in which we had 130 million on CapEx, you start change, they charge depreciation, they charge interest, and they take out 25 million EBITDA. I mean, there is no good consolidated return that you can see in a shorter term with a process like this. So our investment horizon is not the quarter or it's not the year, it's longer term. And if you're absolutely confident that you see in the longer term, the consolidated return going up. Another thing, and that's a more technical thing, is that when you look at our invested capital, because our merger was not a purchase, it was basically only a share swap, the number is also penalized by the goodwill. So differently from an acquisition where we really pay for the goodwill and therefore you have to be charged for the goodwill, we haven't paid our goodwill. Our transaction was 43% higher stock, 57 Brugazil. They could have done that at 1 billion or at 100 billion. So that's an artificial accounting fact that you also have to take into consideration when you calculate consolidated returns.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing star then one. There appears to be no further questions at this time. Now I'll turn the conference back to the company for the final remarks.
Well, thank you all for attending this conference call. Thank you. Thanks to our shareholders for the support that we have seen since Brugazil IPO first, and then since Raia Brugazil, since Raia IPO, and finally since the merger. And I mean, we feel absolutely positive that we are in a very positive trend in which when you look at the company four or five years ahead, we'll see a much bigger company, we'll see margin expansion, and even when you look at this year, especially from the second quarter and onwards, with two projects that we see a good year with modern expansion. So thank you very much, and we remain available for all of you for visits, for conference calls, and all of the time. Thank you.
Thank you very much for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.